Welcome to the Dan Bongino Show special primetime RNC evening edition. I keep saying I'm going to bring you the best guests to the point where it's really sounding lame right now, but they are the best guests. I don't know what else to say. Today I got two friends of mine. One is a member of a group he doesn't even know he's a part of, Mike and Mike. He has no idea. He thought he was a solo act. The great Mike Davis, probably the best lawfare analysis out there. Another guy has been a longtime friend of mine. I mean, this guy is just an all-around utility player for conservatism, has one of the best conservative pictures you'll ever see face-to-face with Antifa, telling them to go fuck themselves, which was really great. We're going to get to them in a second, but we got a sponsor today, MyPillow. They're having a $25 extravaganza sale on some of their amazing products. Check out their deals at MyPillow.com and make sure you use promo code Dan. Gee, which camera should I look at? Gee, straight away or that one? Which one's best? Am I looking at that camera straight ahead? Okay, above the TV show. Okay, sorry, guys. Just don't want to be looking weird if I'm looking at sideways. So, guys, welcome, Jack. Thanks so much. First off, you have a new book out, Jack. What's the title? You were on my show talking about it because you know how to really beat these communists at their tactical game.
Well, look, Dan, thanks so much for going. And by the way, I'm not trying to distract here. I'm literally, just like you, right in the middle of this, getting information from sources as we go. This is one of my White House sources that's coming in talking about the current status of Joe Biden and this whole thing. Does he have COVID? Yeah, they think he's got COVID, but we're not sure what else that he might have in addition to it. Not just talking the mental stuff, but I'm talking about the fact that there is something physically wrong with him.
And
now,
that's serious for a guy his age. Yes. I mean, you know, COVID, obviously.
They're currently discussing treatments. He's going out. He's on his way. I believe he's still en route to Rehoboth right now. He's going to self-isolate. But the fact of the matter is that he is potentially not in a great way. And it's very interesting that this comes just one day after he put out there in this BET interview,
yes,
that should a medical condition arise, I would consider resigning. Less than 24 hours, Dan, suddenly there's a diagnosis. It's all out. So anyway, you asked the question about the book, but I had to get that in because this is real-time happening
Jack,
information.
Jack, like me, folks, is the worst.
And I'm the worst salesman. I know.
You bring a copy of your book. He's like, nah, I didn't do it. I said, brother, you're like me. We really suck. Just tell him the title, because it's a good book.
So the title is Unhumans, The Secret History of Communist Revolutions and How to Crush Them. And it's specifically like this. It comes down to reciprocity. Are we going to actually fight these guys? Are we going to use the tactics that they use against us? Are we going to give them a taste of their own medicine? Mike Davis knows all about this, by the way. But there's this thread in conservative thinking and the conservative mindset that we just want to play fair. We just want to have a debate. We just want to, you know, a marketplace of ideas, you know. Whereas there's other guys who come in and say, you know what? Peter Navarro just walked in. And
I got to see him a minute ago.
He just
walked out of jail.
We had an actual political prisoner in here tonight.
He was just here.
And he's sitting there, and I go, and I give him a hug. I say, great to see you, man. I mean, and we worked together on War Room and Human Events. And he's a mentor to me. We're both China guys, you know, by background. And it's surreal. It's just surreal. Steve Bannon is currently behind bars. And it's so surreal that we have a situation like that going on. And you've got people who say, oh, well, you know, I just want to have a good, fair election and do it.
Yeah,
no,
that's all bullshit.
No, we should unite. Yeah. We should unite. So, no, you can have
unite
unity.
Unite with what, crazies? These people want to kill
unity.
Us.
Unity comes through victory. Right. And if Joe Biden wants to unite, then number one, release Steve Bannon from jail right now. Commute the sentence. It would take you 5 minutes to do that. But number two, we need to have reciprocity. This will not end until Democrats are in handcuffs. And at least, I'm not saying all of them. But I have a list.
But the kicker, Mike, listen, you are part of Mike and Mike. Again, it's my thing. It's that you're like, I'm part of a group. You are. Mike Davis, Mike Benz. Benz is great on Deep State. You're incredible on Lawfare. I had Rudy Giuliani on the other day, right over there on my radio show. But Giuliani obviously decorated history with the Justice Department. I asked him a simple question. I said, Mr. Mayor, when you were running Southern District in New York, I mean, a historied office, cracking up the mob, some of the biggest financial fraud schemes ever broken up. I mean, no one knows this stuff better than you. I said, if someone had walked in and said, hey, Mr. Mayor, I want to prosecute Ed Koch. That was a prior Democratic mayor in New York. And it's on a shady kind of bank real estate deal where the bank's going to testify in favor of Ed Koch. He said, Dan, it happened. And no shit, Mike. I said, Mr. Mayo, I was just pitching as hypothetical. He goes, no, what happened? Wasn't Ed Koch, though. He said, well, Walter Mondale asked Geraldine Ferraro to be his VP candidate. Apparently, the husband had some issues. Someone walked in there and said to him, we need to look at the husband. And he said, we're not doing it. We're not going to interfere in this election. If we look at it, we're going to look at it after, unless it's some national security threat or imminent crime we have to prevent. And he said, this kind of stuff would have never happened. Now, Lawfare is like, this is just like standard operating procedure for the left.
Yeah, I mean, look what they've tried to do to President Trump. This is Joe Biden, Merrick Garland, Jack Smith, these Biden Democrat prosecutors. They tried to bankrupt him with a bullshit case up in New York for the non-fraud of paying back sophisticated Wall Street banks in full on time, as agreed with interest. Big Tish James tried to do that. They tried to throw him in prison for the rest of his life for non-crimes. They tried to take him off the ballot. And when that didn't work, now President Trump's enemies want to take off his head, literally, as we just saw last Saturday. These are republic-ending tactics by Joe Biden and these Biden Democrats. This is how the Roman Republic fell. It was the Lawfare by the Roman insiders against Caesar that caused him to cross the Rubicon from Gaul into Rome, and it led to the Civil War and the fall of the Roman Republic. We're not going to go into a civil war, a hot war, but this is going to lead to a legal tit-for-tat between the parties that could destroy our country. But I 100% agree with what Jack said. We need to bring justice, and part of justice is retribution, right? And so nobody's above the law, as they say. We need to...
Yeah, that's their line. Yeah, that's their line.
That we need to make sure that we prosecute them for their real crimes. And so they think long and hard before they bring this bogus Lawfare and election interference the next time.
Mike, I want to just get your take, and then Jack, I'll come to you on this one, because you put an idea in my head. I had a whole different show lined up for you. I'm already scrapping this whole show. I wrote all these notes. I'm like, what the hell?
We're doing it live.
It's my buddy, Bill O'Reilly. If you saw that video, he's my boy. You guys know me and Bill, we're like this. You saw that? But we're all one time. I wrote in a book I wrote, The Fight, a long time ago. I said exactly that I don't think, of course, anything's possible, and I pray it isn't, that there's a cold or hot civil war. Obviously, nobody wants that. But there will be a cold civil war in the future if this continues. How far are we away from, say, a Republican Ron DeSantis-type governor, saying like, you know what? Say something like the Donald Trump thing happens again. And they put out, they say, you know what? Don't come to Florida. Don't get him. We're not extraditing him. You can do whatever you want in New York. And Donald Trump just says, we're not going. I mean, really, how far away are we from that?
Well, thank God President Trump transformed the Supreme Court to the first constitutionalist majority in 90 years, because the Supreme Court really just saved our republic with its decisions on presidential immunity. The Fisher case, they essentially ended this Biden Democrat Lawfare and election interference against President Trump with the presidential immunity case. And the biggest winner of that is Joe Biden, because Joe Biden is going to get thrown out of office on November 5th, 2024. And his old, decrepit, demented ass would be a prime target for the Trump 47 Justice Department on January 20th.
Now, Jack, I'll go to you. The difference, because you just brought this up, too. It's kind of a nice ping pong here. The difference with us and them is the Bidens appear to have actually committed crimes.
Yes.
Like, they had to make this stuff up.
Precisely.
With Trump. Like, we have actual stuff to go after.
So when I got a copy of the Hunter Biden laptop for almost 4 years ago, right, in October 2020.
The Russian one?
Oh, yeah, the Russian one. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Yeah, I'm reading for Privyet, Kovratovarish, And I'm like, I'm looking through this, and I said, well, wait a minute. This is all the things that they claim that Donald Trump has done, and yet here it is on one laptop. I've got all the files on Burisma. I've got all the CEFC from China. I've got all the oligarchs. And then, and you were federal law enforcement. I was intel, but you were federal law enforcement. Dan, have you ever had a case where you had the defendant or the suspect in this case, where the suspect was recording himself confessing to the crimes every night?
No, I haven't.
While on crack.
I have not.
And say, oh, I'm dealing with the spy chief of China and all this. And I was like, it's all here. So all we have to do is get it out. So we think, all right, and then we get it to the New York Post, and we put it out to say, wow, I've never had a situation like this. I said, this is going to be the greatest October surprise of all time. And we later found out that it was the greatest October suppression of all time.
You're an intel guy, though.
Because the truth was all there.
Talk to the audience a bit about how deeply corrupted the intel swamp has become. That 51 absolute morons disgraced their families, themselves, their reputations. Jack, they knew that was Hunter's laptop. Stop the bullshit.
Well, they knew it was
how
Hunter's
bad
laptop.
Do you have to be for them to
and it was and it what it was, and people need to understand that it wasn't them being necessarily wrong. And this is the thing, it's not they're not wrong. This was an intelligence operation that was run by Brennan, that was run by Clapper. He put the word down, and we know this because of the testimony of Mike Morrell, because we know that it was Mike Morrell who went to Tony Blinken at the time serving in the capacity as the senior advisor to Joe Biden on foreign policy. He was the one who put the word out. He said, we need something to go with this. So let's put this together. Let's put together what Davis is saying with this information. We got the unhumans strategy, the playbook that we're talking about in my new book, to say, all right, well, that means that was an unregistered campaign finance in-kind contribution.
Clearly.
And so when you have an unregistered in-kind contribution, well, unfortunately, then that's something that potentially can be a felony if you were using it to cover some underlying cost. So that means you need an investigation, and that means you need a prosecution in terms of that. So take the 51, right, and then take Tony Blinken as Secretary of State and launch criminal proceedings against all of them.
But Jack, it's not like they've done that. Oh, they did, Mike! They did up in New York when they pigeonholed the campaign.
Exactly what
I'm
they
sorry,
did.
I forgot. Wasn't that the nonsense case up in New York where they pigeonholed that? But give me the audience. I played a segment of you the other day on, I think, Real America's Voice. You were explaining, and the audience needs to hear this, why Jack Smith, the appointment was clearly unconstitutional. But I think my question and what I got feedback-wise from the audience afterwards is, if it was so obviously unconstitutional, the appointment wasn't Senate confirmed, was not an AUSA, Assistant United States Attorney, was not a U.S. attorney at all, as a matter of fact, why did they do it? Was it just arrogance? Were they just so cocky that they thought they would slip one past the goalie? I mean, it was a clearly unconstitutional appointment. Why, and why do you think they did it?
Well, remember, the Office of Independent Counsel lapsed after Ken Starr's investigation of Clinton. Congress let it lapse, and then the Justice Department tried to resurrect it through fiat, through regulation, through the Office of Special Counsel. That's, you know, this regulation's been on the books for a long time to appoint a special counsel. I think the reason this is just now getting decided, because it was Justice Clarence Thomas's concurring opinion in the presidential immunity case that flagged this, and the reason that he had that concurring opinion is because Joe Biden and Merrick Garland and Jack Smith politicized and weaponized our justice system and took our legal system to the brink by going after President Trump, a former president and likely future president, with these made-up bogus charges. And so they're deciding this now because they've never had to decide this in the past.
Now, it can be resurrected under a different AUSA or United States attorney, correct?
Correct. Yeah, correct. I mean, it's a Senate-confirmed officer. Right? If Joe Biden tries to bring these charges against President Trump after, if they want to refile in the Southern District of Florida, I mean, they're going to get shut down by the Supreme Court. They're charging Trump with actions that are subject to presidential immunity. That's going to get the Bragg case up in New York thrown out on a mistrial. And if Judge Merchan does not declare a mistrial there in New York on September 18th, the Supreme Court's going to get that case. And
can I ask you about that too?
Yeah.
Because the obviously the presidential immunity case, I don't want to jump around too much. I don't want to confuse anyone. I'm not a lawyer like you either. But, you know, I understand the contours of it. Given that they've now expanded this from civil and the Nixon precedent to criminal, to the criminal realm and official acts, isn't it Merchant's obligation up in New York to now go back and review this and decide which of those things were immune to prosecution? I mean, how can he just sentence them given the Supreme Court precedent?
He can't, and that's what he knows. I think he realizes he has to do that. I don't know if he will, because the guy's corrupt. His daughter is raising millions of dollars off of this unprecedented criminal trial.
So give me best and worst case scenario. Best case scenario, would it be something like Merchan, you know, finds Jesus, which isn't going to happen, and throws the case out? Best case scenario. And worst case scenario, he has to go through and pick apart every little thing and just says, yes, that was an official act, and rolls with it anyway?
The best case scenario is he would declare a mistrial, because Bragg used evidence that was subject to presidential immunity. He used evidence of President Trump's conversations with Hope Hicks in the White House and then Madeline, his operations assistant, in the White House. Those are clearly subject to presidential immunity. The Supreme Court just clearly held in the presidential immunity case that not only is the president immune for his official acts, criminally immune for his official acts, you can't use evidence that's subject to presidential immunity for any other case. And so they used that evidence. And so Bragg used that evidence that's subject to presidential immunity. Mershon has to declare a mistrial. If he does not, then the Trump legal team can they can have another court review in New York. And if that court says no, it goes directly to the Supreme Court.
Yeah. So that's fruit of the poison tree.
Yeah. Well, yeah, similar. I mean, yes.
Similar to that.
Yes, it's very similar. It's evidence that they could not have used. And that not only did they use it at trial, you can't use it in grand jury proceedings. And so that affects
all of these cases. So it poisons the entire...
All of these cases should get tossed out because of the presidential immunity decision.
So, Jack, it's been kind of a... You know, people misuse the term bittersweet all the time, especially morons like Joe Biden. But this has been bittersweet, obviously extremely bitter because we almost lost President Trump. I mean, there's nothing about that we should be celebrating, but sweet because he lived and came out of it with a combative spirit. Jack Smith case gets thrown out, the Jack Smith case, or it's likely to be tossed. He's going to pardon himself anyway, interminably delayed. The debate goes horribly. The follow-up interview with Lester Holt and others goes even worse. The Democrats are in disarray. Down ballot races are starting to shift right now. Everything seems to be going really well. My fear, we'll pull it out bird's eye view here and your take on it here. I'm afraid a little apathy may set in. You remember the midterms, right? You heard I was not doing it. I have video evidence. I told people I don't want to hear shit about it. Guys, do I take right? No fucking red wave. I'll kick your ass out of here right now.
I will physically attack the next person that says landslide.
Thank you. You see? So I met, by the way, folks, showing you I'm not a bullshit artist. I meet some P1s outside. I'm like, hey, motherfuckers, you want to watch the show? Come on in. And they're like, yeah, come on in. So I love these guys. So they're hanging with me and they know the deal. Like, I don't want to hear shit about a red wave.
No.
We heard that and we got our asses kicked. But now it's like, it's reaching this crescendo where it's almost out of control. I'm hearing people like, we're going to take 60 Senate seats, and that apathy then kicks in, and that's why we're getting this shitty Republican turnout.
Look, complacency is going to be the biggest challenge going forward because you'll have this sense of inevitability. And you know who messes with the sense of inevitability? All of the Democrat machines in cities like the one we're in right now, by the way, like Milwaukee, like Detroit, like Philadelphia, my hometown area, like Chicago, all these places, Phoenix, by the way, all of them, they're going to sit there. And you know what? We're going to sit there and say, oh, Trump's got the halo effect and Trump Vance and everyone's going to put all the motivation behind them. You know what the Democrats are doing? They're banking ballots. They're just banking ballots. And by the way, those illegal aliens that are coming in across the border, it's not about them voting. It's about having their name on the driver's license rolls so they can use it to generate more ballots. So once the ballots are generated, those go off and get filled out. This isn't something where, like, you know, they're sitting there, vote for Biden. No, come on. It's the ballots generated using the ID of that person, and then it goes off and the ballot gets sent in. This is the biggest threat, and that's why I keep going around everywhere where we go, you know, especially if you're in a swing state like we are right now, you know, we're registering people, we're making sure it's got, I work with Turning Point Action and Charlie Kirk and Tyler and everybody, and it's look, we're going to be doing more investment in those swing states because we understand, and I'm from Pennsylvania originally, so I understand that this is the state. JD Vance, like, I love you, buddy. You're from Ohio. You're moving to Pennsylvania.
Right. Get an apartment.
Because we need you. We need an apartment in, like, Western PA.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think
the Pavetti brothers
too.
Going to Sheets.
I think he should go.
Oh, Virginia's on the bubble.
Virginia is totally on the bubble. He should do three quarters PA, a quarter Virginia. If they win Pennsylvania,
and then
Virginia,
ping pong, Maryland, you know, Michigan, Wisconsin. Michigan, Wisconsin.
I mean, he definitely speaks the language of the working man. I want to get to JD too. But my question for you. So the New York Times back in 2012, these guys probably heard this article 1,000 times, right? They're like, all right, you're going to mention the Adam Liptak article. When Republicans were primarily utilizing absentee and mail-in ballot, military and older folks in Florida, the New York Times had a real problem with it. Matter of fact, they wrote a piece, Error and Fraud at Issue as Absentee Ballot Rises. It's by Adam Liptak. Again, it's the New York Times, not the New York Post. And they indicate clearly the statistics show that the rate of rejection and fraud for mail-in ballots is twice that of in-person voting, which I mean, common sense, guys, doesn't surprise anyone because there's no obstacle. Like, if you have to go into a voting booth, the same person can't walk into a clerk five or six times with the same ballot. You were just here. A mailbox, you can go as many times as you want. What I find odd about this is this just a matter of Soros-type prosecutors and a corrupting of the justice system? How is it that the legal system, especially with the Pennsylvania debacle in 2020, the Texas case that got tossed out of the Supreme Court, why are we doing so poorly in court on an issue that should be such a ground ball? The statistics are clear that this is just ripe with fraud.
That's a very good question. I mean, that's think about what Democrats did in 2020. They used COVID to illegally, unconstitutionally change election laws. So they violated the Elections Clause of the Constitution, where state legislatures, not fiats by county clerks and other people like that, can change election laws. They mass mailed live ballots out to old voter lists, including college campuses where they move 300 times. Those ballots pile up, and then, as Jack says, you know, maybe they're not filling out those ballots, right? Someone else is, and then they get rid of signature verification because apparently COVID changes your signature.
Yeah, I don't know how it's kind of weird.
It's a weird thing. It changes your signature. And then they get rid of election observers, the evidence gatherers, and then they say there's no evidence. Well, no shit. You threw out the election observers.
Yeah, right.
That's why there's no
evidence. Kind of hard to gather evidence.
Yeah, when you're thrown out because of COVID, right? So these Republican legislatures need to get smarter this time and very fast.
But do you think that's happening, though? I mean, give the audience a sense of, are we at least better off than where we were in 2020? I know Arizona made some changes, Georgia. I know they're not enough. I'm not telling everybody it's perfect. But do you think we're at least in a marginally better spot than we were in 2020?
I do, and I'll tell you why. And I'm gonna out him. Steve Kenney used to work for me on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and now he's the head of litigation at the RNC. And this guy is very smart.
Good.
And he is he's a very effective, and he has been what needs to happen. Here's how we made a mistake, or we screwed up last time. You have to get injunctions ahead of time on signature verification and election observers on these all-mail ballots. If you don't get injunctions ahead of time, then what's going to happen is you want a judge after the election to throw out the entire election, right? Because you're going to say that there's fraud. You have to show overwhelming evidence of fraud for a judge to step in and throw it out after the election, right? You have to get the injunctions before you separate the live ballots from the secrecy envelopes, right? And if you don't do that, if you don't get the injunctions ahead of time, that's how the Democrats can steal the election, right? And so Steve Kenney has been very effective at getting these injunctions in these key battleground states ahead of time. So that's good to know.
I was not aware of that end. At least we're fighting back for once.
Yeah, I mean we're always gonna get smoked by Mark Elias and the Democrats on this stuff. But we're getting much better. Republicans need to vote as early as possible. Bank your votes.
I say that all the time.
Because if you wait till election day, look what they did in 2020 with BLM and Antifa riots, right? Wait till we have the Hamas riots in 2024, and they scare the hell out of little old lady Republicans who think it's their patriotic duty to wait to go vote on election day in person. Look what happened in 2022 with Abe in Arizona, where they had in Maricopa County. They disenfranchised voters in Maricopa County.
I was there in Maricopa when it happened. I was reporting live. I was with everybody. And we went out to cover it with Kerry Lake and with Abe Hamadeh and Blake Masters running for Senate. And all of a sudden, so, you know, they got rid of the precincts in Arizona. This was the next thing. They have voting centers, at least in Maricopa County. So normally you go to your precinct, and the original voter ID, by the way, was you would go to the little old lady from your neighborhood, and she'd say, "Hey, Jack, how you doing? Your mom came by earlier on her way to work. I think your dad's coming in later. Good to see you." That was the voter ID because you knew the people who were there. Now they've broken it up, and at least in Maricopa County, and that's why they're trying to spread it to everything. And don't let them tell you it was just COVID, by the way, because we know that HR 1 was written in 2019, before they even knew about COVID. They may have known, but that's a different story. The issue, though, is they switched it over to these voting centers throughout Maricopa. And then with the voting centers, they've got massive amounts of people, thousands of people in some cases, going to these centers. And then suddenly it's, oh, the machine's not working. So the machine goes right. down. And
the
it's
printer
like,
doesn't
and
work.
It's like, right. And it's like the printer. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, and I've got like Mike Vindel's voice in the back of my head. The machines, the right. machines. Right. You know, and then they, and then I love this. And I love this. And I'm a Pennsylvania guy. So I'm like with Charlie, I'm with Tyler. And I go, you know, guys, I'm a PA guy. I'm not an Arizona guy like all you. But and then they say, well, don't worry. Don't worry. Fill out your ballot and then put it in the machine in door three. And I'm sitting there like, door three? What is door three? How about you count my ballot? And so the point is, the lines got so long that so many people left that they had their votes disenfranchised. Abe Hamadeh loses by a handful of votes. They all lose by a handful of votes. And now you got a situation where you've got all of these people running throughout Arizona, who could be indicted, but for not the fact that Abe Hamadeh is not there, and they got Hobbs as governor.
Yeah, let me transition to this Secret Service story. You being an intel guy, this part I'll focus on the intel side rather than the tactical side for now. So the Secret Service has an intel team too, a protective intelligence unit, right? And their whole ethos, guiding ethos for being is that they're going to do the pre-intelligence work. So if there's a subject that's of interest, unusual interest, or a threat case, they'll be at the scene to do a quick interview and deem threat, no threat, or we don't know, and therefore we'll take precautions, right? So it just emerged that 3 hours or so before, I'll cover this on the podcast tomorrow, by the way, in detail, folks. 3 hours before, apparently the parents made some calls and said, listen, we've got a problem. The parents. So there's obviously a vested interest in protecting, not outing your son. There's no reason for them to say otherwise. We then found out that upwards of an hour in advance, guy passes through the magnetometer with a rangefinder. Why the hell would you have a rangefinder? Were you shooting deer? I mean, what the hell was going on there? Then we find out 26 minutes before that subjects at the scene are saying, hey, there's a guy on the roof, and that looks like a freaking gun in his hand. Like, maybe we should do something about that. As an intel guy, you must have, you know, read that and been like, this isn't even intel. This is like my eighth grade daughter would have been like, dad, we got a problem here. There's a dude on the roof with a gun whose parents said he's a troublemaker. I mean, this is insane. So, the epic failure.
I mean, at this point, and the fact is, they say, oh, do you believe the narrative? People ask me, do you believe the narrative? Do you believe the narrative? And I say, well, what narrative? Because the narrative shifts. It feels like every 10 right. minutes, every time, because we're here.
Thanks,
at the,
Mike.
We're here at the rally, and we'll see you later, Mike. And we're here at the convention. And so it's like every time I get off a hit, every time I get off a show, every time I finish something, there's a new narrative. So I'm asking, which narrative do I want me to believe? And then I look at it, and the time keeps moving back. It keeps shifting back.
Right.
And so my question is what else could this guy have done to make himself right. known to law enforcement?
Right.
I mean, did he have to walk around with a flag that right. said sniper
Look,
and like a little arrow pointing down to him that said, I am the sniper, I'm going to do this. By the way, here's my rangefinder. Here's my, and that's the rangefinder.
Could you think of another reason a guy would have a rangefinder?
I have guys at rallies. You can't bring a vape into those things.
Right.
They're saying like, oh, because the vape, because it's got a device and it's got a USB and they won't bring it.
You can't bring a bottle of water on a freaking plane.
You got to take your shoes off unless you're in the clear and the facial recognition and all this. And this guy brings a rangefinder. Oh, I'm just going to be doing some surveying while I'm in there of the audience. Please.
Yeah.
This stinks. It stinks to high heaven. All the American people know that it stinks. This Kimberly Cheadle, that she should be at this point, not just under investigation, not just resignation. I mean, we were doing the live show earlier today. People want to see her behind bars. It's completely insane.
By the way, how can they find your show, the audience? I'm going to take a quick break after this.
Human Events Daily. We're on Real America's Voice. We've got the podcast up. The book is on humans. And we do 2 to 3 every day. I'm also covering down.
They hate you, by the way, left.
Oh,
my gosh.
Really,
they can't stand you.
They're not fans.
You're in like every New York Times article. Is that like, do you frame those suckers? You have like a little Hall of Fame?
Honestly, at this point, it's gotten so many times that it's like you can't even keep up with it. But there's going to be. But here's the weirdest thing, though. You know what the weird thing is coming around here at the event, now they're all coming up being nice to me. Now they're all coming up. Hey, we want to write a feature on you. And, oh, gosh, we heard you were so instrumental. And you've been talking to Bannon. And, you know, you're tight with this guy and that guy. And, oh, I want to be nice. And it's like the buttering up. And we're going to write a book about you. And I'm like, aren't you the same guys right. that like 3 or 4 weeks ago or days ago or like this morning are attacking me?
Well, you're good and for clicks.
I
want to talk about Steve Bannon in a second. Let me take a quick break here. Hey, you've asked, and MyPillow, listen, they're finally bringing you the most requested offer ever. Get the queen size premium MyPillow now, only $19.98. MyPillow is made with a patented adjustable fill. It adjusts to your exact individual needs, regardless of your sleep position. Wait, pause this ad. Nobody sells more MyPillows than Jack Posobiec.
Whoa. So, whoa. I wasn't going to say anything.
If you can help us
more
out,
on a different show,
Jack is the king of MyPillows. No. So use my code, and we're going to rock this tonight. It helps keep your neck aligned. It holds its shape all night long.
There might be some other promo codes. We don't have to talk about those right now.
You can get the best sleep of your life. But that's not all.
Whoa.
Get their six-piece kitchen or bath towel sets. Only $25. The brand new mattress top for as low as $69.98. And their famous MyPillow bed sheets for as low as $25 and so much more. So this is the only promo code you need. MyPillow.com or call 800-637-4982. Do not use any other promo code other than Dan to get huge discounts on all MyPillow products. It's the only one, folks, including the premium queen-size MyPillow, only $19.98.
No, wait, Dan. That's the lowest price ever. Do you actually use them?
Yeah, of course. I use the travel ones, too. Yeah, I got a whole bunch over there. I'm going to give you guys a couple of MyPillow travel
ones. When we first came in, and we got them, and my wife, Tanya, she came in. It wasn't me, it was her. Because she came in and she got rid of all the pillows in the house.
I think Tanya sells more than you, though.
Why would you say that?
Your wife, man, she knows what she's doing with them.
It's look, I'm going to say it. She's got that blonde-haired, blue-eyed privilege that she walks up and everyone sees. Like, I'm out there. I'm like, I got the sources and I got the analysis and I got this one. In like the middle of the night and I'm on like Signal with Dan. I'm like, have you hearing this? Are you getting there? We're checking all it out, and she just walks up and she's like, la la la, my pillow, come and get some. And boom, it goes up.
Mike's been great to a lot of conservative folks. Seriously, I mean, I know it's a spot and all, but you know as well as I do. Oh, yeah, look, we got
look at this.
Give these to the guys.
Look at this, the American flag right there.
Jack, you know, when a lot of weather companies bailed on conservative media after January 6th,
it was Mike.
Oh, he was totally in.
Mike was there. Mike was all in.
And he keeps it free. No one's got to pay because of the ads. I mean,
no.
You know, I'm not a big, huge paywall guy, you know? So
No. And if it were not like this, we would have to. And I'll say that to my kids we use the travel pillows for my kids. So they sleep with them. And I got the Bible ones. They do like Noah's Ark or the Nativity, the Christmas story. They'll do that one. Creation stories one. And we use the topper. We use the sheets. We use all of it. We're totally.
Yeah,
so it's like people are like, oh, you're just doing. And actually, tell you the truth. Most of the time when I do my show, because I'm doing the home studio, I'm in the slippers.
Yeah, we're moving out of the home studio soon, so you got to come see my new studio.
We bought a Burger King.
Folks, you ready for the Burger King?
Burger King.
You guys are coming, all right? So, because I just met the P1s over here. I love these guys. So, let's get to Bannon.
Yeah.
So, Steve, I'd love to tell you that he was our only political prisoner. Actually, I'd hate to tell you that, but it'd be great to just have one. He's not. Peter Navarro was here tonight. George Papadopoulos. Carter Page was at least investigated, almost became a political prisoner.
General Flynn came very close.
General Flynn. I mean, the list goes on and on. You're very close with Steve.
Oh, well, actually, I just see Peter's on stage there.
Oh, is he? Oh, look at him. He's up on stage now talking.
He looks great.
Yeah,
By the way, this is why, okay, and I will say this. I'll be a little funny because I know Peter. And Peter, we work together on War Room and all this. And I said, they said, like, do you think Peter's okay? And I said, I don't think he is. And they go, what do you mean? I said, well, he came out and I got to see him and he's smiling and I've never seen him smile before.
He
is not temperamentally, he is not exactly known for being one of the happiest guys. All right. And I think
he's a little salty.
And I think people know that he's a little salty, that he's a passionate guy. He's passionate about what he believes in. He's passionate about the country. He is not a fan of the People's Republic and the Chinese Communist Party. He is not a fan even a little bit. And he and I are very simpatico on that. But man, he's smiling. He gave me a hug. I'm like, Peter, what did they do to you in there? You're being all nice. And look, I think it's just amazing. You know, obviously he's very happy to be out.
How's Bannon doing? Steve, by the way, can you please dispel for my P1s in the audience? I get this a lot, and it's strange. I don't know how to respond because, candidly, I don't know where it ever came from. I get this often. They're like, Dan, is there some kind of beef with you and Bannon? I'm like, no. Matter of fact, the Groundswell Group was me, Bannon, and a couple of others who started it. Steve and I have always been friends.
I've never heard anything like that.
I honestly
have no idea what you're talking about.
I love Steve. Steve and I go back Gosh, I was doing interviews when Steve was hosting Breitbart, and I was a nobody. I was like a Senate candidate nobody cared about. So there's never been any ever beef, not even like a little bit. But how is he doing? I know you talk to him a lot. I mean, so listen, no one wants to go to jail. I mean, this is a real pain in the ass.
Yeah, so he's got limited email access. It's through DOJ. You have to be whitelisted through for Bureau of Prisons. So a certain number of people are on it. I'm on one of them. And he's not told me a single thing about life on the inside other than, and so he and I both served in the Navy. He said, it's like being on a Navy combatant when you're at sea. So, you know, and I can paint the picture, fill in the blanks on that. You're, you know, surrounded by a bunch of guys you don't like. You're all forced to sleep together. Now he's got a community area, but I believe an individual room or maybe one bunkmate, you know, and you're stuck inside, you're on quarters, but other than that one time he mentioned that, every single other email, and he emails frequently, it's all about the work. It's how's the movement doing? What's going on? What's going on with Joe Biden? What's going on with Donald Trump? Press here, press there. He's asking for intel. He wants to know what the RNC is like. What's my analysis? And then he's firing back. And these are long details. He's got nothing but time right now.
Yeah.
So I'm getting long. And I will say this. So we're not making them public right now because there was a potential that one of the things that they say is if you start making it too public, they're going to feel like he's doing his show again and that potentially they could curtail his access.
Okay.
And so we're keeping them private for now, but I'm saving them all. And if he ever wants to
that
do anything with them,
that first show out's going to be huge, man.
They're going to, I was joking. I said, he's doing show prep. He's doing show prep all for the day. So he gets out currently scheduled November 1. Election's November 5, so he gets 4 days. New York Times is interviewing me, and they say, oh, so he's only going to have 4 days. I said, no. Steve Bannon only needs 4 days. Yeah. 4 days is more than enough. What's he going to do with the other three?
He needs 4 hours. That's it.
4 hours is all Steve Bannon needs. He's going to come out there, and I'll tell you what he's doing right now is I guarantee you he's converting every single person inside that prison, guards included, by the way, to be supporting Donald Trump. Peter Navarro, people were telling him that they were high-fiving him. They were high-fiving him on the way out.
No way.
Because they all know that these guys are there as a political process. They aren't murderers. They weren't tax cheats. They weren't any of these things. What did they do? They stood up for their country. We live in a country now, and my wife comes from the Soviet Union. We live in a country now where if the government doesn't like you, the government will make up a crime against you and throw you behind bars. And by the way, if they can't get you behind bars, who knows? Somebody's going to take a shot at you when it comes next. That's the country we live in now. And I think Steve going to jail, Navarro going in, coming out, Biden collapsing, and then everything we see with Trump Saturday night, it's like this massive culmination all at once.
You know what? There's one other thing is, you're right, and it's all at the end where it's not even fixable at that point because there's so little time to turn it around. I was talking to, Rachel or someone, I forget, Rachel Duffy, but I said, he's got another problem, Biden. This next debate is September. Early voting is going to be going on in full swing. Biden has two options and only two right now. Bail on the debate and look like a chump and a coward, or go into the debate and get your toasted again like Donald Trump. I mean, it's only going to get worse. The guy's brain, he's losing neurons by the day. Well, nothing's going to get better.
And I've just seen, by the way, there's a new video that just dropped of Joe Biden within the last couple of minutes of him. I mean, they're almost carrying him onto Air Force One. That he is not walking, and we all know he kind of has that.
Safe, man.
It's not safe.
If this was your grandfather, you'd be like,
"No,
Ma, we gotta fix this, man." You know,
we would say, "Dad, I love you more than anything," but no, come on. This video, it is not good, and they're leading him up there, and you can see him with this halting gait and putting him up there, and there's a real consideration.
He always gets the seat right behind in the congressional hearing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hey. Oh, he's the guy.
Come over here. I want to see if the audience recognizes you.
Oh, yeah, I know Ivan. Yeah, I know Ivan.
Folks, you recognize this guy? How the hell do you always get this seat? Grab a seat at a mic right now. No, the other side. Russell, I'm not going to be on the mic side.
Get the mic. The mic's over there, yeah.
So How do you always get the seat at congressional hearings behind the clown show? And you, folks, you know who he is? Chat's, wait, hold on. Let me see the chat. So, all right. We got 60,000 great P1s watching right now. You know who this guy? You ever seen him? Okay, yes. They know who you are. They've seen you before. How do you do that? Do you put a reserved for Ivan Ranklin thing down or something?
No, so he knows the same. He's been in the same process Jack has. All you have to do is show up. And if it's a really big hearing where the biggest scum are basically testifying, you just have to show up probably about an hour, maximum hour and a half to get the primo seats. Now, because most of the Republican conference at this point know who I am as well, particularly the chairman of the committees.
Yeah.
Let's just say I have a mechanism to guarantee that I'm sitting in the back.
Yeah, they know who you are, man.
Right behind Fauci, right behind.
Wait, someone said dude is twice your size, Dan.
No.
Wait,
no.
What's up?
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Back to back.
He's fun sized. He's fun sized, folks.
Twice my size. All right. I'm a little taller, but the dude is solid. I'll tell you that. So listen, I want to get both your takes on this, okay? Yeah. Wait, before I get your take on it. It was you, right, who asked Hunter Biden that question?
Yeah.
What was the question? I played it on my show. We were laughing our asses
off. The question that went completely viral was, what kind of crack do you smoke, Mr. Biden?
Dude.
What, everyone already knows
did he
that he smokes. Abby Lowell, his attorney, was angry, looks back at me, he's like, shh. I'm like, buddy, you're outside of the hearing room.
It's a fair question.
I can speak whenever I want. It's right. Not being using expletives. So I can basically say whatever I want.
It's a fair question,
it's a fair
right?
Question. And then I mean, are you still on the take with Ukraine? Are you still on the take with Russia? Are you still on the take with China? All these other players.
Dude, you got a lot of balls.
Investing.
No, wait, but Dan, think of it. Yeah. Why is it that it takes an Ivan Ranklin? We've got all these congressional staffers, right. All these Republicans. Yeah. They're all sitting there. Why does it take Ivan to have to do that? Because people don't have the idea yet to just go and do it yourself.
And, you know, listen, I say all the time.
That's why I always do it, like, peacefully, by the book, professionally.
No, smart.
Because then they're going to,
you know, yeah, and then they're going, but then you're never going to get access again. And it's going to ruin the whole thing. Like, it's perfect that you did it that way, like, with this sense of just calmness. And the reason I played it on my show, what kind of crack do you smoke, is because you phrased it like it was a serious question. Like, hey, bro, what kind of, you were like, Mr. Biden, what brand of crack did you? And I'm thinking, pardon
me,
freaking
Mr. Biden.
Funny,
bro.
I
have a quick question for you.
That we already know he does smoke crack. It's just a matter of now we got to get into more detail.
What kind? Yeah. Is there a specific
who's your supplier?
Do you the like? Hookup, yeah. Is it right? So again, I need
recommendations
both of your takes on this. Right. If we're ever gonna go down this,
I mean, you
Las
are the
Vegas
smartest
path,
guy that the fake president
he
knows.
Said it.
So
he said
I want to hear your
he
advice.
I say all the time on my show that political campaigns are snapshots and sound bites. They are. The Jack Posobiecs, the Ivans, the Dans, you know, we're voting Republican. Yeah. Really. I mean, I've had to, you know, suck it up and vote for shitty candidates like Mitt Romney, the Bushes in the past. I'm excited this time about voting. But I do it because not because I believe Republicans are the solution to our problems, but Democrats are the cause, okay? But we aren't the target audience. The target audience are people out there who are, you know, the Burger King mom and dads. They're at a soccer game. They take their kid to McDonald's. They don't do what we do. This is our lifestyle.
Yeah, we're
this
nerds. We're in the
yeah,
game.
Yeah, we are. And I always say, and I think you'd agree, Jack, guys, why not say all the time, I don't have a real job. Dude, it's just not a real job we do. There are men and women out there working for a living, military folks, cops. What we do is not real. I love it. We work hard. It's not a real job. It's snapshots and sound bites because the people who are out there working real jobs, unlike us, that's what they see, a picture in the paper and a sound bite. But that's why that question and those things you're doing out there and you making those faces in the congressional hearings, that's why that's so important. That may be the only thing someone sees all day on Twitter. People work for a living. They're like us on Twitter all day researching stories. So that stuff's important.
Yeah, you got to draw the attention of the people and then educate them. Once you got their attention captured, you can educate them on the serious, detailed, nuanced issues like, what's a motion to vacate the chair? No one has a clue what that is. How do you draw them in? Yeah. You use a term like Speaker Trump, and then they get their attention, right?
Did I see there's like a feature on you out there now? Like recently, in the last couple of weeks? You know, what was it? Who did it?
Last week, Raw Sewage. I think they're pronounced Raw Sewage.
Raw Stupid,
maybe?
Yeah, Raw Sewage.
How you pronounce it?
What is it?
Raw Sewage.
Yeah, I don't know.
So anyway, reporters from Raw Sewage were trying to hit me up, and I don't communicate with, you know, single-digit IQ. so-called journalist. It's just not my style, right?
Yeah.
But they actually today, I posted it up on my ex today, both of the people that did the hit piece on me, trying to label me as the biggest, you know, the name calling, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, they confronted me over, you know, a couple blocks away by the Pfizer. They were shaking when they were communicating.
Oh,
they're
terrified.
I got it on video.
They're always so scared whenever I talk to them in real life. These
what
people come
with that Antifa cat when that picture with you?
Oh, he's so scared. He was so
when you
scared.
Got up in his grill. They were all like, you know, when I left the White House one time for the, remember the RNC was at the White House, the National Convention? In
yeah, yeah.
So I'm leaving, I'm walking out with my wife. And the, remember, it was crazy. Like Antifa, right. BLM was everywhere.
Well, was that the night Rand Paul?
Yes.
They came out. They
I
got
have
him.
The video.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
I played it on Fox.
Which all they do is political violence.
Yeah, that happened
every
to us.
Every day
too.
They do. We don't do any of that.
So we walk out, and some guy's following us. I'm going to rape your wife. He's got a group of people around him. So I lose it. I'm not, you know, trying to pretend to be a tough guy. But I was going to fuck this guy up. So I'm chasing him down the street. He's on a bike. And my old Secret Service friend, Keith, grabs me. He's like, it isn't worth it. My wife is in heels. She's like, trying to stop me. I'm like, I'm going to kick this dude's ass right here. Like, you're not, I'm going to show this guy. They are the biggest pussies ever.
The best comment I heard on that video you was from Scott Adams. He was talking about it. And I was listening the next day. And he goes, you know, I don't know if Antifa's ever met a guy like Dan Bongino before, because you know Dan Bongino's sitting there and he's going, all right, do I want to go after the big one first, or do I want to go after the little one?
Always go after the most aggressive alpha.
Rush him and destroy him.
Drop the biggest one first,
man. And you go for the big one. He's like, no, he's going to go for the big one first, yep. And the rest are going to scatter like cockroaches.
Ivan, I'm going to ask you if you're a second. I got a Brian Mass. Someone I've had. Brian, you want to come on for a second? Say a few words, man.
We look alike. There's no difference here.
My audience loves you.
I have one working leg. The other one's still recovering.
Hey, man, my audience loves you.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, good to see you, Ivan. See you around the way.
So I'm going to welcome Congressman Brian Mass. Brian, come on, grab a seat over here if you can.
Can we? Okay.
I just saw you speaking at the RNC. You were kind enough to come on over. How you doing, brother?
A little bit.
I happen to know you.
How are you?
Yeah, grab a seat right there. So Brian happens to be also my congressman from Florida. It's District 18.
He wants a microphone up their butt.
So, I mean, obviously no one understands the perils of warfare better than a guy like you who literally left limbs over there. So you be a good guy, and Jack, I'll get your take on this too. We got about, you know, 10, 15 minutes left here in the show. The Ukraine, how do you see the whole Ukraine situation? My take on it's been, you know, I get it. Putin's not our friend. Like, I totally understand that. I think my issue with the funding and with Congress and everything is we don't seem to have any kind of a coherent plan. You know, do we give them ATACMs? Give them, but don't let them use them. Do we give them F-16s? Yeah, we're going to give them, but we're not going to train them right away. You know, do we give them equipment? Yeah, but let's delay the funding. You know, what does winning look like? Well, we're going to get Crimea back. Well, what if that happens and he unleashes a nuke? It's like there doesn't seem to be a coherent battle plan. I'm wondering, for a guy like you who's left limbs on the battlefield, what's your take on that?
Let me just start by confirming what you just said. There is not a coherent battle plan. As far as the future goes, I think you have a tale of two paths. If there's Joe Biden, right, the path is Putin probably just waits him out, because the chances of there being another opportunity for, or another chance of American funding getting through, I didn't vote for it before. I don't think you're going to get funding from America going through again. So I think Putin just waits that out one way or another. If you get Donald Trump has red lines. Any foreign intelligence agency is going to tell to their leader, and they're not going to gaslight their leaders. They're going to tell them Donald Trump's red line is Donald Trump's red line. So whatever he tells you on the phone when he calls you after the election and says, be out of there in 24, 48 hours, whatever it is, he means business, and he's gonna do what he says he's gonna do. So I think those are the two separate paths between them. But let me affirm what you're saying right now. America supports Ukraine to survive, not to win. We're not supporting them to win. We're not. It's like the old, you remember Mr. Miyagi, right, in Karate Kid? He's like, yeah, you know, right side of the road, good. Left side of the road, good. You know, you go in the middle. Sooner or later, you know, squish. Right. And that's what's going on here. We're not supporting them to win. There's not a plan to say Putin has to be out of power, or there has to be war crime tribunals, or there has to be Russian nuclear demilitarization because they've elevated their nuclear threat posture numerous times, or there has to be demilitarized zones along NATO borders, or they have to be out of Crimea, or they have to be out of Ukraine. And total, none of that exists for 900 days for the United States of America to say this has to happen.
Yeah. Jack, your thoughts?
Well, I couldn't agree more. So I was in Ukraine about 2 months after the war started. And we went down and we rode the trains. We rode the rails down to Odessa. And then I was just literally like paying off people to get through checkpoints. And we went all the way down through to Mykolaiv and then almost down to Kherson. And this is when the Russians were still in Kherson on that side of the river before they pulled back and really hunkered down there. And I could tell you that the money that was coming in, the armaments that were coming in, it was... People were asking me if I wanted to buy an AR-15. I'm like, look, first of all, I got a few, but back home. But what are you coming up to me here for and doing that? I'm just here to report. I'm here to tell you what I see. And they're like, oh, and you found out the scam is that this stuff would go over there and they were just releasing it out into the wild with no direct plan. I mean, even prior to that, all of this going on, we knew one of the reasons that Ukraine was not eligible for NATO membership was due to endemic corruption problems within the government. And in fact, you know who agrees with me on that is Vladimir Zelensky, because this is what he ran on when he was running all the way back in 2019, was anti-corruption. And so you've got local governors, you've got all sorts of stuff going on. And to your point, Congressman, it's that we've got the stuff over there, but we've never sat down and created a coherent plan for what victory looks like, whether or not NATO would take a role in leadership on that. And then plus the issue they have now, of course, as we're seeing more and more, is these manpower issues. And I don't like to give a lot of credit to Kamala Harris for her, you know, military and geopolitical prowess, but she had a point. Something interesting you said about Ukraine's a small country and Russia is a big country. That's actually true. And so Russia has these manpower reserves, the conscripts that they can keep drawing on that Ukraine just doesn't have. And so it's a math problem. And she was a little bit, not for the right reasons, but she was a little bit right when she said that, because that's the situation they're in now.
She tripped over the truth.
She tripped over the truth, yeah.
Jack, I want to thank you again for joining us. I want to end with a question for you, Congressman. Are you on any of the committees that are going to be looking into this Secret Service debacle?
So I sit on Foreign Affairs Committee, and I chair oversight on that. I don't think Foreign Affairs Oversight will be looking at what's going on with that. And I sit on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. Congress as a whole will be looking at this, no doubt about it, but it will primarily be focused on Jamie Comer.
Every member spoke to, MTG, Lauren Boebert, Speaker Johnson was on my show earlier before, Jim Jordan. I asked them all the same question I want to pitch to you. You've been involved with congressional hearings in the past. Jack, you've seen them. They devolve into, you've seen it, 3-minute filibuster, a 10-second question. I'm taking back my time. We get it. This isn't that issue. We almost lost the president. And by the way, this is nonpartisan. Joe Biden could be next. He's a Democrat. I don't want to lose anyone. I was a Secret Service agent for Obama, okay, and Bush. This isn't the kind of thing we mess around with. This isn't some third world republic. Do you think, I've gotten 4 out of 5 said yes, it would have their act together. 1, not so sure. Do you think with this, given the gravity of the situation, that these hearings are going to be focused and directed? Will they get together, kind of pregame this? I'm going to ask this, you're going to ask that. I mean, you've been up there now quite a few terms. You've got a sense of it. Please tell me that this isn't going to devolve into some, you know, total shit show up there.
No doubt. Both sides will pregame it. Now, whether they're pushing in the same direction or not, we'll be seen. Now, what they can do to avoid, and this is a little inside baseball on, you don't have to do what you just described, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. People are walking in and out. It's like two ships passing in the night. People are asking the same questions. And okay, you're racing through it because you only have 5 minutes and you're looking at the clock. The chairman can decide, and the committee should do this, in my opinion. I think Congress should do this often. Get your best prosecutor on the issue and say, okay, this individual is getting 30 minutes, and then we're going to 30 minutes for the other side, and then we'll go back to 30 minutes for this side and that kind of thing. And use your best prosecutors for the issues instead of, you know, fighting over, I need my 5 minutes or that sort of thing.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. By the way, thanks again for your service to the country. And how'd the speech go, by the way? We just saw you on the screen.
Such an honor to be able to be on the same stage as, you know.
Is that Holman talking now? Yeah, I just saw you. Was Navarro after you?
I don't know who was after me.
What did they give you? Is it 5 minutes or something?
Just different for everybody. Yeah. You know, kind of how long do you want to speak? What do you want to speak about? Now, we'd like to have you.
You don't respond. I'm not asking you to, but I just want to say your name has come up multiple times for positions in an upcoming hopeful administration. We're not talking about any red wave stuff. But your name's been out there quite a bit, you know, given your experience with combat injuries and everything. And, you know, listen, someone asked me about that earlier today. I said, listen, the boss makes his own decisions. You know how the boss is. You know, he does what he does when he wants to do it, and that's his call. But I think we'd all agree, you know, when it's time to serve, you know, it's time to serve. And I've heard your name quite a bit. Nobody understands some of these departments, you know, better than you do. And thanks for taking care of the water down in Florida 18. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you a lesson about politics, having run and lost. Am I correct, Congressman? All politics are local.
Local.
All politics are local. Not some politics, all of them. And the water in Florida is always messed up. We're finally getting our hand on the situation down there. This guy's been all over it. So thanks, Jack. Thanks for your time. Plug your show again. How do people find your show?
Human Events Daily. Check out the book, Unhumans.
Brother, thank you so much. Unhumans.
Appreciate it, man.
If you want to take it to the commies out there, that's the guidebook on how to do it. And Congressman, thanks so much.
Dan, take care, home. And I hope government finds you in it somewhere.
Oh, so, man. I don't know. Oh. So, I don't know. A couple of people asked me about that today.
I think we need a new Secret Service director. I'm just saying.
Guys, what are we going to do about the radio show? I'm going to bring these guys with me. Fellas, thanks a lot. Ladies out there in the audience, really appreciate it. Another banger show. Join us tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. local down here at the RNC for the podcast. Radio show follows soon after. And then we'll do another primetime show tomorrow night. See you tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in.